Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here today. Open your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 12. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. Some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? How he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. In those days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night, and he continued in prayer to God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I heard a pastor speaking one time at a meeting that I was at, and he told about a denominational meeting that he attended of some kind a few days after the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, was bombed in 1963. This horrific crime was conducted by four white supremacists, and it killed four young girls, Addie Mae Collins, Carol Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, and Cynthia Wesley. It killed them as they were going to change in their choir robes and get ready to sing in the choir. At this meeting that he attended after the bombing of this church, he said the main topic of discussion at this meeting was whether people should wear Bermuda shorts to church services or not. He decided then and there on that day that he was no longer to be involved in a group that cared more about what people devoted to their services than about the lives of four young girls who were killed in a horrific crime and a horrific bombing. If we're not careful, we can reduce the wonderful and challenging life of loving Jesus and loving others into a life of following a set of rules and regulations. We can reduce a life of loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving our neighbor as ourselves to a petty religion of do's and don'ts. You see, life as a Christ follower is a life that loves God and serves people that he loves in Jesus' name. Jesus cared and loved people and wanted to help people. And so should we. So should we. Life as a Christian is not about filling seats in a church building. I would love to see all the seats filled in this building, but that's really not what it's all about. Life is seeing people rescued from sin and seeing the lives of men and women and boys and girls changed, helped, and improved by God's mighty power as he rescues them from their sin. You see, when religion cares more about rules, regulations, and ceremony than it cares about people, something's wrong. In the passage we read in the Gospel of Luke this morning, we see Jesus confronted by people who cared more about their rules and traditions than they cared for the welfare of people. A few weeks ago, we saw it in Luke when Jesus called Levi, Matthew, the tax collector, to follow him. And Levi invited Jesus to his home and threw a big party for Jesus and invited all his disreputable friends. And he was condemned by the Pharisees for eating and drinking with sinners. And Jesus had to say to them, "It's the sick who need a physician and not those who think they're righteous." And again this morning, as we read about some of the Pharisees that they cared less about the hunger of Jesus' apostles. They cared nothing about the health and the life of the man with the withered hand. Their only concern was whether Jesus would adopt their legalistic view of what it meant to keep the Sabbath. That's all they cared about. From this passage of Scripture, it's very easy to see that God loves people and not the traditions and rules of men. God loves people and not the traditions and rules of men. We see this truth in a couple of ways in this passage of Scripture. First of all, God's concerned with the dignity, with the daily struggles of people's lives and not the faulty traditions of men. Now, Jesus was walking through a grain field on the Sabbath with his disciples. The disciples were hungry, so they were picking the heads of grain from the stalks. They were rubbing them together and eating them as they were walking. This was allowed. If you read the law, you could walk through someone's grain field and pick it and rub the and eat what was there. You couldn't bring a basket and fill your basket full of somebody else's crop, but you could pick and eat what was there as you were walking through the grain field. And some Pharisees observed this. According to their interpretation of the Sabbath, if you pick something, if you prepared it, and you ate it, you were violating, you were breaking the Sabbath. And so Jesus' disciples picked the heads of grain, they rubbed them together in their hands, which the Pharisees defined as preparing it, and then they ate it. And according to the Pharisees' interpretation of the law, these apostles, these disciples on that day violated the Sabbath. And so they turned to Jesus. And they says, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? You see, they made themselves judge and jury of what was and was not lawful. But Jesus, who is Lord of the Sabbath, he rejected their authority to judge him or anyone else. Jesus turned the tables on him. Since they were experts in the law, in the Scripture, have they not read, he said to them. Have you not read? And some translations say, have you not even read? You experts, you know the Bible. You say you know it. Haven't you read this? This very familiar passage of Scripture. Have you not read this? When David, when he was hungry, how he took the loaves that only the priests were to eat. They were on the table in the holy place, and it was only the priests who were allowed to eat this, what was known as the bread of presence. He said, have you not read that David, you know, took this bread for himself and his followers, and he fed his followers with this bread. And so Jesus was saying, if it's okay for David to do that, why wasn't it okay for my disciples to walk through the fields and pick a few heads of grain and eat them? You see, Jesus rejected their final authority to be determiners of what was lawful and what was not lawful. And he said about himself, he was Lord of the Sabbath. He ultimately was the one who determined what is lawful and what is not lawful. He rejected their authority to be final determiners of the law. In Mark, he also said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath was not imposed, on men like a duty that they had to keep, but it was given to men so they could have rest from a long work week, so that you could rest and I could rest, and we wouldn't work day after day after day with no break, no rest. It was given so employers would not force their employees to work day after day after day after day with no rest. It was given as a blessing to man. It was to be a blessing and not a burden. But they'd made it a burden. They'd made it impossible to keep. Instead of being a blessing, it become a burden. Do you realize that every command from God is really a blessing? It's meant for our good. You know, God doesn't just arbitrarily say do or don't do certain things. He has a reason, a purpose for it. It's to bless us. Now, there's always a blessing in doing what God says, even if you don't understand what that blessing is. But there is a blessing. When God tells you not to do something, it's to protect and provide for you. Just like when you tell your children, your little children, don't run across the street. You don't tell them that because, you know, you want them to not have fun. You tell them that so that a car won't run over them and kill them, right? God's commands are just like that. They are meant to bless us and not hurt us. You see, do you believe that God wants what's best for you? Well, I do. And so all his commandments are meant to help us and not hurt us. In Matthew, he also said that, don't you understand, he said to these Pharisees, don't you understand that God desires mercy and not sacrifice? If you understood this, you would not have condemned the innocent. You would not have condemned the innocent. They were so concerned about their wrong view of the Sabbath that they were not concerned at all about his disciples and their hunger. The disciples weren't starving to death, but they were hungry, and God was concerned about them. Jesus was concerned about them. And what they did in no way violated the Sabbath, even though the Pharisees thought it did. You see, Jesus' focus was on people, and their focus was on duty and regulation, and they missed the very purpose of the Sabbath itself, to bless and not to burden. You see, just as God is concerned with people and their lives, so should we be. Are we more focused on mercy or on sacrifice? Are we merciful people who seek to love and help people and point them to Jesus, who can rescue them from their sins? Or do we look at their behavior and then condemn them and talk about them, how they're living their lives all wrong? Realize no one is right before God because of their morals or behaviors or lifestyle. No one is right before God because of these things. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus. By faith in Jesus. And that doesn't mean morals or behaviors or lifestyles are not important, but it doesn't save. Morals, behavior, and lifestyle should flow from a relationship to Jesus. And if it doesn't flow from a relationship with Jesus, then you just become mean and sickly, sweet, pious, and people can't stand to be around you because you're self-righteous, you know, just a jerk. Have you been around people like that? We've all, and sometimes I think I've even been like that. I hate to say it. Behavior follows from right relationship from God, from loving God after he's rescued you and redeemed you. If it flows from anything else, it's wrong. You see, our behavior flows from right relationship with God. When I was in college, I taught a dorm Bible study to the football players. Now, I wasn't a football player. I was a skinny old college guy. But I had big football players that were my friends because I taught them this Bible study. That was kind of good for a skinny guy like me. Anyway, I knew some of them. I would go to football practices, and I got to know some of these guys. And one guy, I asked if I could lead a Bible study in his room, and he said yes. And he did that for about one semester, and then I met in some other guy's room. There were about 5, 6, 7 guys that usually came every week. And one night, as we were studying God's Word, the Holy Spirit moved in power, and we saw 5 of those guys come to Christ on that night. Now, the next week I came back to this room and just continued to teach the Bible study, and the room was different. Where we'd been teaching the Bible study, some of these guys had a couple of centerfolds in their room. I'd never said one word to them about these centerfolds. But when they were saved, somehow they knew they shouldn't do this. I didn't have to tell them. They just took them down. And the next week they were gone, and they were gone for as long as I taught that Bible study. Because, see, behavior flows from a right relationship with God. You know, oftentimes we want to make people observe Christian morality. People don't need Christian morality. Christian morality will separate you from God. You won't go to heaven because you observe Christian morality. You need a Savior to rescue you, and I need a Savior to rescue me from my sins. We need Christ. And we got to remember to focus on people knowing Him, and then they'll live the way that He wants them to live. God is concerned with people to rescue and to save them, and so should we. But secondly, God is concerned with doing good for people and not destroying them. On another Sabbath, Jesus entered a synagogue, the scripture says, and he was teaching. In the synagogue, there was a man with a withered hand, and Luke points out it was his right hand. Indicated he led with his right hand. And you know, if you lead with your right hand and you can't use it, it's an extreme difficulty. And most people are right-handed. There are left-handed people, but most people are right-handed. But I think the reason Luke mentioned this was because this man was right-handed. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching Jesus, and they were there because they wanted to find a reason to accuse Jesus. According to their interpretation, if Jesus healed this man, he would be violating the Sabbath. You see, the Pharisees taught that you could only heal on the Sabbath if someone's life was in danger. Now, even though they didn't doubt Jesus' power to heal, they still thought he would be a lawbreaker if he healed on the Sabbath. Now, there's something a little bit wrong with that kind of thinking. They believed he could heal, but they thought he'd be a lawbreaker if he healed on the Sabbath. Now, doesn't really make sense, but anyway, they only saw one issue, the Sabbath, and their interpretation of how to keep it. They did not see any other thing that should be considered. But Jesus did. The scripture says Jesus knew their thoughts. How did he know their thoughts? Because he's God. That's how he knew their thoughts. He knew they were looking for a reason to accuse him. And so he took control of the situation. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand here." And so the man came up and stood probably right next to where Jesus was teaching. And Jesus then asked, "Is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy it?" He asked the question to the people in the congregation that day. There was an opportunity here to do good, to help somebody. There was more involved than merely keeping or not keeping the Sabbath. You see, if you have the opportunity to do good and you don't, you sin, right? He says, can you do good or can you do harm on the Sabbath? And then he said, And then he says, is it lawful to save life or to destroy it? What's the answer to those questions? Not real difficult questions, are they? In Matthew, he asked, if they had a sheep and their sheep would fall into a pit on the Sabbath, would they not rescue that sheep? They said that. And then he said, is not man more valuable than sheep? Now, the answers to all these questions are obvious. They're easy answers to these questions. It's obvious it's better to do good than harm. If you can rescue a sheep, surely you can rescue a man. If you can do good, if you can save life, it's better than destroying life. They made no reply because anything they said would be wrong. They're not difficult questions. They're easily answered. You know, some questions in life just aren't difficult, are they? Some questions in life aren't difficult. God just lays it out for us. This week at the Southern Baptist Convention, someone asked Russell Moore, who's head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, they asked him how the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission could support could support the buildings, allowing Muslims building mosques in our country. And he says, Muslims, you know, he said all kinds of things. But that was basically his question. Russell Moore said, that's not a difficult question. If we want religious liberty for us, we have to fight for it for other people too. If the government can say to people, you can't build a mosque in our town, it can also say to people, you can't build a church in this town, a church building in this town either. If the government tells everybody they have to be a Christian, he said, that doesn't make them Christians, that makes them fake Christians. And that sends them to hell because you can't force someone to believe. It's an easy question. If we want religious liberty, if we believe in religious liberty, if we believe in soul freedom, then we have to believe in it for people who even disagree with us. Some questions are not hard. Some questions are not hard. These were not difficult questions that Jesus was asking. They had obvious answers. And the scripture says he looked around at them. Can you just see it? Can you see Jesus just kind of scanning the crowd? Looking at the crowd. Silence. The scriptures, and Mark tells us, he looked around at them with anger. With anger. Their lack of compassion angered Jesus. Now, it wasn't an anger that was destructive. Some things should make us angry. We shouldn't stay angry. You know, sometimes we Christians talk about righteous indignation, and that there should be things that anger us when people do evil and terrible and horrible things. But we can't, the anger of man, the scripture says, does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. But some things should just, we should just detest them because they are so evil. Like the shooting last week, we should just detest stuff like that because they're so evil. Jesus looked around at them. And then what did he do? He didn't touch the man. He just said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man immediately stretched out his hand and he was healed. Jesus didn't touch him. Jesus didn't even have to work to do it. Jesus just said it and he was healed. And the scripture says that the Pharisees were completely, they were filled with fury. And in fact, if you read all three gospel accounts of this, it's as if they got up right after this and stormed out of the synagogues. They were so angry. And it says that Luke says they discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Luke kind of softens it, but Matthew and Mark says they look for ways they could use to destroy Jesus. You know what Jesus said in verse 9? Is it right to do harm, to do good or harm? Is it right to save life or to destroy it? And so they stormed out of there and they were thinking that they could plot to destroy Jesus even on that very Sabbath day. You see, God's concerned with saving and helping people, and so should we. That's God's concerns. And if we don't have that heart, there's something wrong with our religion. Something wrong with our religion. You see, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Peter says. In Ezekiel 18, God asked the question to unrepentant Israel, why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. You see, God wants people to repent. God wants to save life and help and improve. God wants to do that. And we as his people should want the same thing. You know, Chick-fil-A is widely known for its policy of closing on Sundays. And they say so their employees can spend time with their family and they can worship. Truett Cathy was its founder, and his children still basically run the corporation. And I think they understand something. You know, we need to understand that the Lord's Day, that the day that we have today, it's not somehow all the Sabbath stuff was not transferred from the from the Sabbath to the Lord's day. This is not the Christian Sabbath. There's a freedom there. And I want you to understand that. Should we meet? The early Christians met on the Lord's day. Why? Because Jesus rose from the grave. And the early Christians probably had to work all day long because most of them were slaves. And so they would meet with other Christians at night. And so the command of the Sabbath is like all God's commands, is good because God doesn't want us to work day after day after day with no rest and no break and no nothing. But you know, we're not Jewish people that observe a Christian Sabbath. But the principle of worship and rest, we're losing that. I mean, you know, we thought computers and, you know, internet and all that stuff would free up our lives. And I think people are busier than ever. Most people I know today work a lot more than people would work 40 or 50 years ago. They work continually, all the time. And we don't have this rest. But anyway, Chick-fil-A has a policy of closing on the Lord's Day so people can rest and be with their families. But last Sunday, after that horrible massacre in Orlando, employees at the area at the area Chick-fil-A's opened and they made sandwiches and they were hard at work. And they took sandwiches and meals out to the first responders and to the people who were giving blood at the blood banks. In a statement, they said, "Orlando is in our hearts and prayers." You see, that they understood what it was all about that day. You see, it's about people. It's about loving and caring for people. God is concerned with people and not the traditions and rules of men. That doesn't mean we, you know, there's a fine line you have to walk because, you know, the commandments are for our good. The Lord tells us not to commit adultery for a purpose and you don't bend that. You know, the Lord tells us not to murder. The Lord tells us, the commandment says, they have no other gods before me. And those are commandments and not suggestions. And the Sabbath, it was one of the commandments to help us to have a day of rest and not continual work. But it is the only commandment that's not repeated in the New Testament, though, because there is a difference about the Sabbath. I can't get into all of that this morning, and I don't even know if I understand all of that. But I do understand this, God loves people. And He's concerned with people, and He's concerned with justice, and He's concerned with mercy. His commandments are for our good. They are a blessing for us. And our focus should be the same as God's, to see people rescued from sin and helped and healed and improved. The sufferings of men are a concern of God. And they should be a concern of those who name the name of Jesus. They should be a concern of every one of us. Do we care? Do we care about the sufferings of people and their redemption and salvation? Or do you only want to give them Christian morality instead of the Savior Christ? Make sure we never get those mixed up. Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you loved us and you rescued us from our sin. We thank you, Lord, that our sins are forgiven because of what you did for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you cared enough about a man with a withered hand, that you didn't care about the traditions and rules of men, but you helped him on that day. And we thank you that you help us every day when we need help. Lord, help us to be a reflection of you. Help us to love you. Make us people of mercy as you were merciful to us. Father, I pray anyone here today, Lord, maybe they've seen a bad portrayal of what it means to be a Christian. Maybe they think it's about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. I pray that today you'd open their eyes, that they might understand that there's a Savior who wants to rescue them from their sin and from themselves. He wants to save them and make them His very own child. Oh Lord, I pray that today they might see that and believe in You and call upon You and be saved. Would You work? Would You give us merciful hearts, oh God, hearts filled with Your compassion this day? It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.